Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson and, of course, the words of Jesus from the Lord's Supper, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. The words of Jesus from the Lord's Supper. Take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament shed for you. This is the text. And then we bring in the words of the theme that we have been going all through Lent using this theme, behold the man. And now behold the man giving his flesh and blood. And yet, curiously, taking the words, behold the man, and applying them to the Lord's Supper, also sets up a mirror and a reflection for us. Starting with Jesus' words from the gospel lesson, the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. He is the new man. He is the second Adam. He is the one who connects us with himself and shows us in himself the faith and life and eternal blessing that he's designed and planned for us. He will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. Words from every single funeral service out at the gravesite. He will transform our lowly bodies. And then Paul, Romans chapter 8, says that God the Father has destined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. And there's a mirror set up for us, because in this supper, there is Jesus' design for what he is going to do with you. First off, deep within in your soul, and then in the transforming of your body to share his glory. And there's a mirror there. But first, there's the reactions. John chapter 6, there's reactions to what Jesus said. And they involve a pulling back, and they involve a failure to hear the words of Jesus as the Word of God. First, the Jews responded, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then in the next verse after the lesson, his disciples are saying, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And once again, there's the mirror. And the mirror is held up and shows our difficulty with the hard sayings of the Word of God. And many of his disciples turned back, and Jesus even asked the 12, are you wanting to leave also? Do we take the hard sayings of God and explain them in a way that tries to unravel the difficulty and makes it more acceptable, more palatable to modern man? Or do we keep it as a hard saying? You see, there's a time for hard sayings. And the time for hard sayings is when the important truths are hard. These important truths are hard because of the hardness of the human heart. The setting in John chapter 6 was the feeding of the 5,000. And bread is very easy to understand, and the crowd of 5,000 could see that there was a miracle involved when Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus says, no, no, no. This is not what this is about. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. It's not about the food that fills your bellies. It's about the food that fills the soul and gives you eternal life. And as they're struggling with this, then Jesus comes back again at them. Unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have not life within you. God does not ask permission to say the hard things, does he? Hard things that are hard to understand, but we need to hear them. And the whole idea of what the Lord's Supper actually is, the living body of Jesus giving us life, and the very real blood of Jesus shed to forgive our sins, well, that offended the Romans. Way back when, as Christianity was spreading, then they had rumors and were scandalized by the whole idea of what the Christians were saying. Before them, it offended the Jews. And what the Lord's Supper really is continues to offend people all over the world. Objection! If it's really the body of Jesus, it shouldn't be treated that way. Now, what's at the heart of that objection is very simply this. The reason why it offends is because we want to start off with the religion thing by assuming that we're basically good people. The whole world wants to go that way. And the things that Jesus is saying, well, they just won't go along with that idea. This is not a meal for the good and the nice. This is a meal for sinners. And for us to hear and to know that we are not nice people who are receiving a nice meal because of our lives that have been nice lives and really in harmony with the will of God all the way through. And so God also thinks that we are nice. It's not what it is. You've been hearing the words, "Behold the man," all the way through Lent. Now the supper becomes a mirror. Behold the man having to suffer and die. Behold the man giving his flesh for the life of the world. Behold the man who had to do that if there was any hope that you would be saved. Behold the man giving himself to the desperately wicked, to sinners. And behold the man. Behold the man, me. With a heart so often turned away, with a mind that rises up in rebellion against God, with hands that have done sin. Behold the man, desperately wicked. Luther comes along with his comment on communion. It is as if a pack of wolves fell on a lamb and devoured it. And you and I, we are those wolves. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But the flesh of that lamb was so strong that instead of the wolves digesting it and turning it into wolf flesh, the flesh of that lamb digested and changed them. and changed them from being wolves into being sheep. Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is what he does. He gives himself in this meal, and by giving himself in this meal, he takes everything that he earned on the cross and makes it yours. This is why he sets up the Lord's Supper as a meal for sinners. Why then the worthy eating and drinking has absolutely nothing to do with having a certain character in your life or a certain number of good works that you have done. That includes how strong or weak the faith is. It has nothing to do with that either. Because instead it has everything to do with Jesus and his promises and his call to us as sinners. I was asked a question many years back, and it went like this. How do Lutherans believe that you become worthy of receiving the Lord's Supper? Asked that question in a coffee shop. Someone was curious about our beliefs. And as she asked that, I just started laughing. What? How do Lutherans believe that you become worthy of receiving the Lord's Supper? And then I answered, worthy? Who said anything about worthy? How am I going to become worthy of taking the sinless body and blood of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, and taking it and eating it? There's no worthy. We come as sinners. We come as sinners with nothing to offer. And that's how it's supposed to be, because he said, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And then we went on from there and talked about all of her teachings, and she became a Lutheran. So you're called to come here as a sinner. And my plan this evening is I'm going to take the body and blood of Jesus, and I am going to give it to precisely those who are absolutely unworthy of his body and blood. And I want sinners coming. Sinners who have hearts that have gone wrong, lives that are messed up, however that may be. Minds and thoughts that are much less often than we want them to be in harmony with the Word of God. I want sinners coming who have something of that inside that we would say ick. Jesus called sinners. And here it is again. Like the Pharisees said, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Well, yes. It's amazing and wondrous. And here in the Lord's Supper, he will once again do that great exchange. Here, his holiness for your sin. The holiness of God is what God does to make you holy. And so bring yourself with every sin, including those buried deep in the heart. He is there for sinners to give the sin-forgiving blood shed for you, the life-giving body risen for you. And in this meal, he will show you his own work. His glory is to make you glorious. His grace is to make you forgiven. His holiness is to make you holy. His life is to give you eternal life. And part of a verse of the communion hymn says, "In my forgiveness and new life, he claims his own victory." This is the work of Jesus. The work of Jesus that he's doing in you. And the Son of God is going to continue his work in you until that day when you are standing there before his throne. And even then, receiving white robes, because we don't have a holiness of our own. Receiving white robes of the holiness of God to live before him in righteousness and purity forever. This is the one, behold the man, who stands in the in-between place, the mediator, the advocate, the redeemer. The man, Jesus, who gathers into himself all humanity to carry us in his body on the tree and to feed us with the bread of heaven. Who, by connecting us to himself and joining himself to us, gives us the promise that he will one day transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things to himself. In Jesus' name, amen.